This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And I don't know about you, but I'm rejoicing extra because of the beautiful day that it is. And I'm so glad to be with all of you in this time of worship. And it's my joy to welcome you. Whether you're joining us online or here in the sanctuary, it is good to be together in the Spirit of Christ. I would invite each of you to take a moment to register your attendance and let us know that you're with us. If you're worshiping online, there's a link there on the screen you can place in your browser to register. And here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row, probably starting on the center aisle. And if you would pass those down and sign in and notice the names of the others sitting on the row with you and take the opportunity to greet one another at the passing of the peace or at the end of the service. A few announcements as we gather together today. If you're a college student, we're especially glad that you're with us. And we have college lunch right after this service, gathering just in what's called the narthex back there. If you want to gather at noon, and we'll take you to lunch. It's our treat. Today at 4:30, we will enjoy the choral concert presented by our choirs. We invite you to come back and experience that time of worship together. Wednesday night, the 29th, is the last Wednesday night of the spring, the last Wednesday night supper, children's choirs, and encounter service. So those will not continue in April, so we hope that you'll come and enjoy this last meal together before the summer. On Thursday, as it's the season of Lent, we will have another concert here in the sanctuary at noon, also over live stream. And there's lunch to follow, so if you'd like to come, please RSVP. I think the RSVP information is in your bulletin or on our website. And Saturday, April 1st at 9:45, all the little ones are invited to come to McWhorter Hall and join us for the Easter egg hunt. That's always a really fun event if you're able to be there. Also, I just want to say a special word about Good Friday this year. We will have our noon service in the sanctuary, which we have had for many years as a tradition. But this year, we have a new opportunity to worship in the evening. Our brothers and sisters at Gordon Memorial United Methodist Church have invited us and other congregations in our neighborhood to join together in a community service of Good Friday worship. And we hope that West End will have a good showing on that evening. There's more information in the announcements up and coming in the next few days. And finally, we are all thrilled that Reverend Shannon Baxter is arriving tomorrow to become our pastor of Congregational Connection. So he will be with us next Sunday in worship. It's a good excuse to find your name tag if you're a church member and get back in the habit of wearing that. If you don't know where yours is, you might check the magnetic board just between Reed Hall and the women's restroom there. And if you'd like a name tag, please let us know and we'll get you one. We're continuing to listen in on some of Jesus' conversations with people throughout the Gospel of John. And this morning we listen in on an encounter he has with his friends, Martha and Mary, and Lazarus. So let us prepare to meet Christ in this time of worship together.
Thank you. This morning we are called to worship in peace together. Let the love of Christ calm you, reassure you, and envelop you in compassion. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God. God of second chances, of rising breath, you alone have power over death. We confess that we often doubt your life-giving redemption. Teach us what it means to welcome miracles. Give us minds that are hospitable to you. Open us to the transforming work of your Spirit. Let us accept the miracle of eternal life within us. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. For those of us in the sanctuary, you can pass peace however feels most comfortable for you. And for those of you joining us online, we welcome you to put something in the chat or send a text or reach out to somebody who's in the house with you. The peace of Christ be with you. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Alexander and Meredith bring their daughter to God before the community of faith for baptism.
My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Alexander and Meredith, I ask you now on behalf of the whole church these ancient questions of the faith. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil injustice and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say, I do. And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say, I will. And my friends in the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that she may grow in service with others. We will pray for her to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. So pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away her sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that in dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through with you and the Holy Spirit live and reign forever. Amen.
Try this way. Is this good? Or maybe we'll turn this way. There we go. Get your arm. I got a big robe, don't I? You can hold your head up. Look at you. Beautiful girl. What name have you given your daughter?
Audrey Elizabeth.
Audrey Elizabeth. I baptize you in the name of God, the Father who created you, Christ the Son who redeems you, and the Holy Spirit who will live within you as your friend and comforter all the days of your life. That's right. Well, now let's walk over this way so Mommy and Daddy and Pastor Nancy can all place a hand on you as we pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life. Audrey Elizabeth, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen. Okay, Miss Audrey, do you want to go get a little closer to your church family? It's been 20 years, but I've not forgotten the sway. It just comes right back, doesn't it? You want to come with us? We'll go down and walk. And we're going to get in the middle of this congregation that represents your church family. And they're going to make a promise to help you learn about God and what it means to follow Jesus, and to help you know that God loves you unconditionally and nothing in the world will ever change that. Isn't that wonderful news? So let's listen as they make that promise to you.
With a congregation, please stand and face Audrey Elizabeth. It is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Audrey Elizabeth to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Audrey Elizabeth, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Holy God, as we turn to the scriptures, open our hearts and minds that we might encounter you in the person of Jesus Christ. Be with us as the word is read and proclaimed, that we might know you more fully and follow you more faithfully. Reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verses 1 through 6 and 30 through 45. Del Evangelio de San Juan, escuchen la lectura. Now a certain man was ill, Lázaro of Bethany, the village of María and her sister Marta. Maria was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lázaro was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lázaro, after having heard that Lázaro was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him, the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Maria get up and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Maria came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews that came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Donde lo han puesto?" Where have you laid him? They said to him, "Ven a verlo, Señor." Lord, come and see. Jesus, began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could he not, he who opened the eyes of the blind man, have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lázaro, sal fuera. Lázaro, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Maria and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. La palabra de Dios para el pueblo de Dios. The word of God for the people of God. Gracias damos a Dios.
Seated, and if there are any children who want to come down and join me for a few moments together, I'd love to see you. And if you're worshiping online, you can just get a little closer to your screens. And we'll share a moment together. Hi, Penelope. Good morning, everybody. We had such a big crowd at 8:45. I thought everybody was there, But there are more of you here. I'm so glad you're here today. Oh, I wanted to get my picture from the bulletin. Thank you. So, Miss Teresa just read a story for us about Jesus and three of his really, really close friends. Jesus was really good friends with Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And Lazarus got really sick and he died. And the sisters were really, really sad. And I get sad too sometimes, you know? Have you ever cried before? Yeah, I think we've all cried, haven't we? I was sad when my grandfather died. I called him Big Daddy. He was really special. I was sad when we lost a dog. Lots of things make us sad. And sometimes crying really helps us to feel better. And babies cry a lot, too, when they're hungry and everything. More than big sisters, yeah. I know, it's sad, isn't it? Well, Martha and Mary were really, really sad. But you know what? Jesus was getting ready to do something amazing. He was about to bring Lazarus back from the dead. It was an amazing miracle. It had never happened before. But even though he knew he was going to do that, he took the time to put his arm around Martha and Mary and to give them a hug. And he cried with them. He cried too. And this picture on the bulletin was one that I picked because it's Jesus being so loving and just hugging them when they were crying. And I think that's helpful for me to know when I'm feeling sad, that God is with me and God understands what it means to be sad, and Jesus will even cry with us. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for loving us so much. It's okay to cry with you and to know that you cry with us sometimes and you're sad with us. But even so, you have so much more to show us, and with you there is always hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much for listening. Yeah, come on. Seats with parents or friends. If you worshiped with us last week, then you got to sing some wonderful old traditional hymns. We started off with the United Methodist anthem, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing." And then we ended with Amazing Grace. Who doesn't love Amazing Grace? So many of you, I could tell, weren't even looking at the words, and many of you were moved to tears as you sang Amazing Grace. Those of you who came to 11 had the extra treat of a middle hymn. We got to sing Just As I Am, another song that's very moving to many of us. One of those old traditional hymns in that same vein is one of my favorites. Maybe you know it. What a friend we have in Jesus. You know it? I started kind of low, but I'm going to stick with that key. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus. So many of those old hymns, so many of the generations that have gone before us often talked about Jesus as a friend, one who walks with us and talks with us. And as I read through the Gospel of John, as I read through all of the Gospels and look at Jesus' life, I wonder sometimes, did he have friends? He had disciples, students, if you will, who followed him and walked with him and learned from him. He had family. We know that Mary, his mother at least, was still alive when he was an adult. Scriptures mention brothers and sisters, perhaps cousins, but did he have friends? Well, I think in the 11th chapter of John, we see evidence of a very special friendship that Jesus had with two sisters and a brother, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. They lived in Bethany. And this story is only told in John's gospel, but the other gospels mention the fact that at the last week of Jesus' life, he was going into Jerusalem to teach in the temple, and then he would go out and spend his evenings in Bethany, making many wonder if he was spending his nights in Bethany with his friends, Martha and Mary and Lazarus, in the last week of his life. The first few verses of this story talk about how Jesus loved them. It begins with the news that Lazarus is ill, and so the sisters send Jesus a message saying, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." And then it says, even though Jesus loved Martha and Mary, he intentionally delayed 2 days in going to them. So there's this mention early on that they loved each other. There was a special kind of relationship with this family, these two sisters and a brother. And so as we've been walking through these different conversations that Jesus had with people in the Gospel of John, this is an important one to stop on. We've been making our way through John's Gospel in the season of Lent, if you're just worshiping it with us for the first time today. And we've already seen Jesus interacting with a Pharisee, a scholar of the law. We've seen him talking with a Samaritan woman at the well, with a man who was marginalized, born blind, begging on the streets. And today we get to see Jesus interacting with friends. And so perhaps there is something for us to learn from this interaction about our own relationship with God in Christ Jesus. So let's start digging into the story. Jesus gets the news that Lazarus has died. And we can tell from the very beginning that Jesus has a plan. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he is going to do about this. He seems to already know that he is going to go to Bethany and he is going to raise Lazarus from the dead. This is the kind of sign he has waited to do until this moment. All throughout the Gospel of John, he's talked about his hour has not yet come. But now his hour has come. And he knows that when he raises someone from the dead, the pieces will be in place and things will start unfolding for his own arrest and trial and death. And he's ready for that now. But he waits. Even though he knows what he's going to do, he waits 2 days before he goes to Martha and Mary. And so the story says when he arrives in Bethany, it's been 4 days since Lazarus died. I think it's important that John gives us that detail. There were some at the time who believed that when a person died, their soul sort of hovered over them for 3 days, the possibility that they might come back to life. But this is the fourth day, so that possibility has passed. There's also a lot of reference in the scriptures of God acting on the third day. If any of you are continuing our read through the Bible this year, we've been reading Joshua and Judges, and I've already seen several times how on the third day this happened. On the third day, God acted. But this is the fourth day. One commentator called it, this is the day of hopelessness, the day of despair, the day that is too late. So the sisters see Jesus coming, and in their eyes, it is too late. Martha comes out to meet him. Before he even gets into the village, she comes running to him, and she says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Now, what did she mean by that? What is the tone of her voice when she says that? What is she expressing here to Jesus? I don't know. Your interpretation is as good as mine. But what I hear in that is some faith, faith that Jesus is a healer, faith that Jesus would have had the power to save Lazarus from death if he'd been here. She has some belief in who Jesus is as the Son of God, but even so, it's too late, as far as she understands. So I hear some faith, and I also hear some complaint. And maybe this is what comes in a friendship, the openness and readiness to be honest. And she says to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, our brother would not have died." In other words, where were you? They go closer to the house, and Mary comes out, and she says the exact same thing to Jesus. I think with the same bit of faith and the same bit of complaint. If you had been here, but you weren't, where were you? And you'll notice Jesus doesn't chastise them. Jesus doesn't correct them. Jesus doesn't distance himself from them because they're feeling this way. In fact, he moves closer toward them. The story says when he sees Mary weeping and he sees all of those who are gathered weeping, he was deeply troubled and moved. Now, the verb there is complex, and it just indicates this guttural, visceral response to what he's seeing. It even implies, in some contexts, a little bit of anger, as if he's angry at death for the havoc that it still wreaks in people's lives, for the pain that it is causing his friends. And then it says Jesus began to weep. I prefer the King James translation, just the two words, the shortest verse in all of the Bible, Jesus wept. And yet the profound truth that holds, that when we find ourselves on the fourth day, when we find ourselves in a place of hopelessness and despair, when everything seems too late, when it seems like the stone has been rolled in front of the tomb and there's nothing left to hope for, when we want to cry out to Jesus, to God, "Where were you?" He weeps with us. He responds with compassion and arms that will hold us and wipe our tears. And I don't know about you, but that is just about enough for me. Just to know that whatever I'm going through, whatever our world is going through, God sees, God loves, God cares, God holds, God weeps. But the good news is, that's not all there is to the story. There's more. Jesus weeps with them, and then he faces down that tomb, and he says, "Unroll the stone." And this is where Martha jumps in again, in the same way that you or I would, perhaps. She says, "Wait, don't. There's already a stench. It's too late. It stinks." As the King James Version says, "He stinketh." The stench of death is too strong. It's overwhelming. It's too late. And we want to join our voices with hers and say, "Death stinks. Cancer stinks. Injustice and oppression and discrimination stink. Homelessness stinks. Addiction stinks." And this story gives us space and a voice to say that to God. To acknowledge that this is hard stuff, God, it just stinks. And Jesus hears that from Martha, but nevertheless lifts up his eyes and his voice in prayer, and then calls out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" And to everyone's amazement, including Lazarus himself. The dead man rises. That's how he's called in this story, the dead man, as if to emphasize he was dead. It was the fourth day. It was too late. And yet he rises and walks to the entrance of the tomb. And through the bandages, death bandages still wrapping his face, he can see the light of day. And Jesus says, "Unbind him and let him go." And so now, Martha and Mary and Lazarus, who had looked upon Jesus as a friend, are now overwhelmed by his power, are now in awe of him, who has gone far beyond what they could possibly have hoped for or expected. And then his words to Martha ring true when he said to her, "I am the resurrection and I am life." He is their friend, but he is also the resurrection. Now it's true that at some time later, Lazarus went on to die, and Martha died, and Mary died, as we all will. But I think they faced that death in a different way. For they now knew and were friends with and were in relationship with the Son of God, who was the resurrection and the life. And death was no longer something to fear, but just a part of life that leads on to life. As the followers of Jesus today, who like to call him friend, we also stand in awe and wonder at the life that he offers today and even after death. And so we hold on to this truth. And I don't know anything that says it more beautifully than this prayer in the liturgy of the service of death and resurrection. I invite you to hear these words as my closing prayer today. O God, speak to us once more your holy message of life and of death. Help us to live as those who are prepared to die. And when our days here are accomplished, enable us to die as those who go forth to live, so that living or dying, our life may be in you. Amen.
I invite you now to rise in body or in spirit and turn to page 883 in your hymnal to profess our faith through the United Church of Canada's creed. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate our presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we come to our time of prayer, I invite you to lift up both your silent and your spoken prayers. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team throughout the week and you're online, please follow the Contact Us link. on our website. And if you're here in the sanctuary, there's a gray card in the pew rack in front of you. If you'll fill that out and drop it in the offering plate as it comes by in a few moments. Our deepest sympathies and prayers are with three families today. Lindsay Riley and her family are mourning the death of her grandfather, Raymond Byrd, who passed away March the 16th in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Services were held there on Saturday, March 25th. Susan Petrie and her family are mourning the death of her mother, Dorothy Van Zandt, who passed away on March 20th in Crossville, Tennessee. A memorial service will be held at a later date. And Robert Branch Bowers passed away on March the 24th. Among his survivors are his daughters, West End members, Ann Gobble and Sally Bowers. The family will have a private service. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord, we come to you in this season of Lent with lives full to the brim. We are unsure of exactly how to observe Lent with all that's going on. Are we giving up, adding practices? How do we slow down? And yet, all that we carry, we were never meant to hold alone. And so in this moment of prayer, we offer to you, once again, our lives. O Lord, sort and organize all that we carry, every worry, every shortcoming, every judgment, every grief and pain. We pray for the members of our families, church, and communities who need your healing both physically and mentally. We pray for strength and tenacity of movements of equality and justice. We pray for peace in our world and for those experiencing the suffering of war. We pray for comfort and healing in the midst of tornado destruction. And we pray for the global climate crisis to end. We know from our scripture today that you are a God who knows what it means to weep, and you empathize with our hurt and our emotions. During this season of Lent, O Lord, we put ourselves and all that we hold into your hands and follow you, the one who leads from death into life. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Amen.
Thank you. invite Liz Hernandez to come forward. This is Liz Hernandez. Liz is an immigration attorney and a longtime volunteer in the community with immigrant rights groups such as the Tennessee Immigrant and Refugee Rights Coalition, Workers' Dignity, and Tennessee Justice for Our Neighbors, where she currently serves on the board of directors. She is also the daughter of West End member Alice Sanford. Liz, a couple of questions. As a member of Christ Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will. And as a member of the body of Christ in this congregation, called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will. Congregation, will you rise in body or in spirit and join me in welcoming our newest member? Family of God, Liz is now entrusted to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ, and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. I invite you to greet Liz through the doors to your right following the service. And now may the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world. Amen.
Thank you.
love. That is our mission, to go from this place and reveal God's love wherever we go. And as we do that, may we know God's peace, Christ's comfort, and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Amen.